This reading is taken from Philippians 1, verses 12 to 30. I want you, brothers and sisters, to know that what has happened to me has helped spread the good news. All the palace guards and everyone else knows that I am in prison because I am a believer of Christ. Because I am in prison, most of the believers have become more bold in Christ and are not afraid to speak the word of God. It is true that some preach about Christ because they are jealous and ambitious, but others preach about Christ because they want to help. They preach because they have love and that they know that God gave me the work of defending the good news. But the others preach about Christ for selfish and wrong reasons, wanting to make trouble for me in prison. But it doesn't matter. The important thing is that in every way, whether for right or wrong reasons, they are preaching about Christ. So I am happy and I will continue to be happy because you are praying for me and the Spirit of Jesus is helping me. I know this trouble will bring my freedom. I expect and hope that I will not fail Christ in anything, but that I will have the courage now, as always, to show the greatness of Christ in my life here on earth, whether I live or die. To me, the only important thing about living is Christ, and dying would be a profit for me. If I continue living in my body, I will be able to work for the Lord. I do not know what to choose, living or dying. It is hard to choose between the two. I want to leave this life and be with Christ, which is much better. But you need me here in my body. Since I am sure of this, I know I will stay with you to help you grow and have joy in your faith. You'll be very happy in Christ when I am with you again. Only one thing concerns me. Be sure that you live in a way that brings honor to the good news of Christ. Then whether I come and visit you or I'm away from you, I will hear that you are standing strong with one purpose, that you work together as one for the faith of the good news, and that you are not afraid of those who are against you. All of this is proof that your enemies will be destroyed, but that you will be saved by God. God gave you the honor not only of believing in Christ, but also suffering for him, for both of which bring glory to Christ. When I was with you, you saw the struggles I had, and you hear about the struggles I'm having now. You yourselves are having the same kind of struggles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks so much, Elijah. Good morning, everybody. How good it is to gather together in the presence of God, isn't it? To sing his praises, to encourage each other in that. And how good it is to look at his word. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we love to gather and know you with us. We love to be reminded of your grace and your mercy, your purposes for us. And we love your word. And as we look at this now, would you give us hearts that are open to receive from you? Give us hearts that are open to know you better. Give us hearts that are open to receive what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as I think Jude's mentioned, we are in week two of looking at this letter to the Philippians, a letter that was written by Paul, almost certainly in prison in Rome. And he wrote this letter to this church in Philippi, this church that he had founded and set up. It's described as a letter of joy and a letter of love. And Adam very helpfully kicked off this series last week. If you haven't heard that, I would recommend you listen to that. A great message from Adam last week. Adam was helping us to see that Paul's desire was for the church to mature in Christ. And that to do that, to mature in Christ, we must be abounding in love, must be growing, and that love must be growing up within us, abounding in love, and especially abounding in love for each other. In our passage that we're looking at today, and if you have a Bible, do have it open, please. Chapter 1, verses 12 to 30 we're going to be looking at. We see here in this passage Paul's heart, that the gospel of Jesus is communicated through his church, through his people. The gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, is made manifest in the people of God. So if Paul's desire, and in fact God's desire, is that the church is abounding in love, then I believe his hope is that as we abound in love, the consequence of that is that we will be communicating that gospel, bringing that good news to other people. If you look at verse 18 really caught my eye as I was preparing for today. The important thing is that in every way Christ is preached. The important thing is that in every way Christ is preached. Now, us clergy people, us people who work for the church, we like talking about preaching Christ, don't we? You'll hear us do that quite a bit. And we like to meet to encourage each other, to think about how do we communicate Christ. And I was at a clergy meeting only a couple of days ago, squeezed into this vicar's lounge with some of the clergy from around Birmingham. And some of us knew each other, some of us didn't. So we did that little thing where you go around, you say something interesting about yourself. So when he got to me, I said, well, I'm Marcus. I'm a curate at St. Mary's Wythall. Done a little bit of youth ministry and worship and music ministry in the past. But it was what I finished with that really caught their attention. That I am also an occasional Beatle impersonator. And I have a picture to show you on the screen. There we go. I did look for one where I'm smiling. I do enjoy doing it. And if you're wondering, that is actually a wig. But for over 30 years, me and my friends have been in this Beatle tribute band. And we've been playing all over the place, really, doing that. We reenact the story of the Beatles. So if you weren't there in person, you can see it and experience it for yourself. I asked this at the first service and no one had. Has anyone seen the Beatles here? Did anyone ever go? Yes. What a legend. Amazing. We reenact the story of the Beatles for those who were not there in the 60s, that they can experience it and see it for themselves. Probably best get rid of that picture now, please, Deborah. Thank you very much. You can just go to the next slide and leave it there. That would be great. Yeah. Thank you very much. Now, I was listening to someone talking about the book of the letter to the Philippians recently, and I heard someone say that Paul is saying throughout this whole letter that to be a Christian is to reenact the story of Jesus for the benefit of those who were not there to see it. To be a Christian is to reenact the story of Jesus for the benefit of those who were not there to see it for themselves. The story of Jesus is to be seen and lived out in you and in me. His life on earth, his obedience to God, his death on the cross as he surrendered and gave himself for others. His resurrection to new life, that new life that you and I, that all are invited to step into, to receive and to know if we will trust him, if we will make him our Lord, if we will surrender to him. His life, his death, his resurrection is to be seen in us as we live as his witnesses today. Paul says the important thing is that in every way Christ is preached. So why was this so important to Paul? Why was it so important to Paul? I want to suggest it was so important to him because he himself had experienced that life-changing presence of Jesus for himself. He'd encountered Jesus. You know the story of his journey on the road to Damascus? It's in Acts 9. He wasn't looking for Jesus. Quite the opposite. He was looking to persecute the church, to imprison those who were following Jesus. But he encounters Jesus. He meets Jesus, and his life is radically changed. Paul learned in that process of meeting Jesus and responding to that. He learned what it means to die to yourself, to be reborn and find new life in Christ. He was reenacting the story of Jesus in his own life. Paul knew what it's like to receive mercy from God. He knew that Jesus had saved him. He writes to Timothy, he says, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. He says, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul knew what it was to be forgiven to receive God's grace and God's forgiveness. I wonder if you know that this morning. Paul also knew what it was to receive God's peace. We read later on in Philippians, in chapter 4, he says, "The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Paul had tasted something of God's peace. He knew that God is good. And we can read, can't we, through the New Testament, Paul writes about God's hope, the hope that we find in Jesus Christ, the new purpose we find for living, the joy that goes way beyond our circumstances. I think Paul knew, and we see that in, especially in Acts, that he knew that life would not be easy. He faced many obstacles, but Paul had discovered this is life. This is fullness of life, to live in Christ. He tasted God's goodness and he could not keep it to himself. He just had to share it. Gary's gone now, but I was chatting to Gary the other day about Chinese takeaways. We cannot help but share with each other when we find something good. And he found a good Chinese takeaway and he wanted to tell me all about it. If you've tasted that God is good, how can you keep it to yourself? How can you keep it to yourself? Jesus says we're to go. We sang earlier about we are the workers in the harvest. We're the laborers in the field. Jesus says, go. Go and make disciples. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll bear witness to me. Paul says the important thing is that in every way, Christ is preached. So for those of us who've known the goodness of God, let's share that. Let's hold that light out for all to see. But maybe you haven't received or experienced the goodness of God. Maybe you're sat here listening to this and wondering what this is all about. We would love to talk to you, if that's you. We'd love to chat with you after the service. Find somebody you trust here. If you're really struggling to find someone you trust, come speak to me. I'd love to speak to you all about the goodness of God that we can discover when we turn to him. For Paul, what mattered was that Christ was preached. His gospel was proclaimed. The story of Christ seen in his church, in believers, reenacted. So how are we to do this? Tell us, Paul, how are we to do this? And he tells us in this passage, and I'm going to draw out just four things. There's so much in this letter, and there's so much in this passage today. But I'm just going to draw out four things that Paul writes here, and he's very helpfully given us four words that all begin with P, which I think is very, very thoughtful of him. So thank you, Paul, for that. And this is where the slides come in. Thank you, Deborah. So the first one is that we are to persevere. Perseverance. You know, Paul had a very real sense that God was in control, didn't he? That gave him confidence to keep on keeping on, to keep going. Seems when you read about Paul, when everything's going wrong, when everything's coming against him, stuff that is not fair, stuff that is not right, stuff that he didn't deserve, he has an amazing ability to keep his eyes on God and to keep going, to keep persevering. 2 weeks ago, Manda spoke on Acts 16, looking at Paul and Silas in prison. Some of you may remember that. We read that Paul and Silas were stripped, beaten with rods, severely flogged and thrown into prison without any kind of trial. And by midnight, what are they up to? They're praying and they're singing hymns to God, praising God. Can you imagine it? In the face of that kind of opposition that is not fair, these horrible things happening to him, Paul keeps his eyes on God, keeps worshipping and praising, keeps trusting God, perseveres on. So in verse 16 in our reading, Paul can say he trusts God for his current circumstance. He doesn't find himself in prison because of bad luck. He doesn't find himself in prison because the people who are opposing him have won, they've defeated him. He doesn't find himself in prison because the devil has had his way and succeeded. He doesn't even find himself in prison because God's forgotten about him. Paul says in verse 16, I am put here for the defense of the gospel. And more than that, he can see how his imprisonment has served to advance the gospel. It's given brothers and sisters in Christ a bit of courage to speak out. And it's been made known that this fella in prison is there because he's been talking about Jesus. It's advanced the gospel. Paul could see that he is living under God's authority. And if this is where he is today, then it must be good with God. So how can I glorify Christ in this place? How can I serve Christ in this place? He perseveres. He perseveres. Second P is Paul talks about people's prayers. He says in verse 19, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Paul's trusting in somebody else praying for him, isn't he? He's trusting in the prayers of the church and in God's provision. So there's a challenge for you and for me. Who are we praying for? Who are you praying for? Who needs your prayer? Who am I praying for? That as they go through adversity and difficulty, that they may have strength to persevere, and that they may know God's abundant provision. Who are we praying for? Here at St. Mary's, we meet to pray at various times, but especially on a Monday night and on a Thursday morning. Really good to gather to pray, really encourage you. Just get along, go for just for one time if you don't normally go, and just see what it's like. Just get that heart for prayer. Encourage each other in prayer. Next Sunday evening, we've got an evening of prayer and praise at 6 o'clock, just as a one-off, part of this year of prayer and praise, and just because September feels like a good time to just get before the Lord. We haven't got much of an agenda for next Sunday evening. We just want to seek the Lord and ask him to bless the ministry of St. Mary's in this place. Come along, 6 o'clock next Sunday evening. Who are you praying for? Another question might be, who's praying for you? Paul is trusting in the prayers of the church. Who is praying for you? I was chatting to Jude a couple of days ago about the Sunday night youth group that we run. And just saying to her that we're really encouraged, that numbers are starting to grow. We had a great time the other week with a bunch of young people eating pizza, playing games and talking about what it means to follow Jesus. And Jude said, oh, that's so good to hear. We'll pray about that on Monday night. We often don't know what to pray about. And I thought, we need to get better at communicating, don't we? We need to get better at sharing what we would like prayer for. I wonder how easy you find it to ask somebody to pray for you. To ask somebody to pray for you. This is what doing life together is all about, isn't it? This is what a phrase we've got here at St. Mary's, how to one another, to do life together, is to ask people to pray for you, to share lives with each other. And we're giving home groups a bit of a push at the moment. Home groups, small groups that meet in homes are a great place to do this, to care for each other, to know each other and to be known and to pray for each other. So keep praying. The third P is that Christ must be preached in any and every way. The word that's used in this passage for preach is kerosene, and it means doing the work of a herald. We're communicating something that is not our message. It's a message we've been given to communicate. That's the work of a herald, to communicate clearly what somebody else, a higher authority, has commanded to be proclaimed. And this isn't just about standing up at the front of church on a Sunday morning and preaching. This is about communicating the gospel in all of our lives every day. It's about living out the story of Jesus, reenacting the story of Jesus in our own lives every day. This means talking to people about Jesus. As Jude said at the beginning, You know, that is a prayer that God loves to answer. Lord, give me a chance to talk to someone today about Jesus. I dare you to pray that prayer. Today, tomorrow, I dare you to. God loves answering that prayer. See what he does. We need to talk to people about Jesus and be ready to share why we've got a faith. But we also need to live our lives so we demonstrate God's love in our actions, in how we choose to live. Again, referring to what Jude said in the opening there about living differently to how the world lives. Verse 27, Paul writes, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." We're to be living examples pointing to him. Sounds a bit daunting, doesn't it? By his Spirit, we can live like that. Jesus says in Matthew 5, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Paul's longing for this church in Philippi is that they would be a visible sign and witness to the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, for all around to see. So we're to preach Christ in what we say and how we live. And then the last P is to do with that, because it's how we live as his people. The last P is to live as God's people in unity. Paul writes in verse 27, "The church in Philippi are to stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel." And when the church lives like that, says Paul, it's a sign to anybody who's opposing any seen or unseen power that would oppose the church, it's a sign that they're on the losing side. Our unity, our togetherness, our love for each other is a powerful sign to the world of the reality of Jesus Christ's love. It's seen in us, it's made manifest in us. Adam spoke a bit on this last week, and I think he shared this passage that I'm going to share again from John 17. Jesus' prayer for all believers. Jesus prayed to his Father, "I pray also for those who will believe in me," that's us, "that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity." There's no half measures here in what Jesus prays. "They may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." So the world will know and understand something of God's love, that grace and mercy that Paul experienced, that many of us in this room have experienced. The world will see that and understand that when they look at us and see us living this radically different life in unity, loving each other. Are you up for a bit of that in Withal and Hollywood? Yeah? I think we could do better. And I long for us to learn what it means to live in that unity, that Christ be glorified and that he be seen. So we persevere, we pray, we preach in words and actions, and we live as God's people in unity, which is a powerful sign to the world. So what's God saying to us today as we look at this passage in this letter to this church? What's God saying to us? I believe there's an invitation this morning to receive afresh the love of God, to know afresh his mercy and his peace, his forgiveness and his freedom. And then as we know that, and as we receive that, as we're filled with his love, that his love would indeed abound more and more in us, that it would overflow and spill out. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Christ, would be seen in us as we receive his love afresh. that we would reenact the story of Jesus in our lives. A couple of weeks ago, Amanda shared a vision for us as God's people here. She said her vision was that we would see more of God and more of God would be seen. And I want to add two words to that, that more of God would be seen in us. That we would see more of God and more of God would be seen in us. Can I invite you to stand and we're going to pray and maybe the band could get ready. If you're happy to stand, if you're able, there's no pressure to. Let's just invite the presence again of the Holy Spirit to be with us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and meet with us, we pray. And Lord, as we ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit, we pray that you would assure us of your amazing love, your life-changing love, your love that is beyond our understanding, and yet we know tangibly real. Your love that heals us when we're broken. Your love that brings peace when we're anxious. Your love that speaks words of comfort when we're frightened. Your love that forgives when we're all too aware of our guilt. Your love that saves us when we're lost. Lord, would you help us to know your love afresh today? Would you minister to us? And there was a word this morning that there'll be somebody here, and there was in the last service, but I believe again in this service, somebody or some people who just feel troubled. Troubled and not at peace. And if that's you, then please seek prayer this morning. Pray with somebody. Either now, and feel free to do that. Break the flow of what we're doing. That is absolutely fine. And there'll be friends at the end of the service who would love to pray with you as well. If you're that troubled soul, because he longs to bring you his comfort and his peace. But Lord, help us to know your love afresh. Receive your love afresh, that we may go out overflowing with your love and revealing and showing your love to wherever we are. And we think now of those who we know who don't know your love. Lord, use us. We pray for opportunities to talk about you, Lord Jesus. And we pray all this for your glory. Amen.